Hey there, it's Colt Cabana. Thank you so much for checking out the past shows from the archives. All the past ones in this feed are ad-free. I took out all the ads. If this is something you like, you can listen to every single episode of the Art of Wrestling podcast dating back to 2010, absolutely ad-free for only $4 a month on my Patreon. That's patreon.com/ColtCabana. All right, enjoy the show. This week on the podcast, it's All In Weekend. I chat before and after with the Being the Elite crew. We also hear from so many of my buddies on the show, and my mom gives her opinion on my new action figure. Enjoy the show.
This is the Art of Wrestling with professional wrestler Colt Cabana.
How you guys doing? Come on in, sit down, relax. You're about to listen to The Art of Wrestling, a professional wrestling podcast. It's a life podcast. It's a personal journal. It's an entryway to the minds and souls, the hearts and lives of the people involved in the world of professional wrestling. I am your host. My name is Colt Cabana. I'm a podcaster. I'm a live podcaster. I'm a guy who walks into a 10,000 plus seat arena and just makes myself at home. That's because I, most importantly, I'm a professional wrestler, and I am sitting here live in my studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. Before we go any further, this is a fan-supported, listener-supported podcast supported by people just like you. We give it to you free of charge every single Thursday. ColtCabana.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast from. A couple great ways that you can support, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, just like El Gato Pollo Loco did. Email me your address, and I'll send you a free autographed Japanese DDT ticket. Other ways to support, social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Best way to support, though, ColtMerch.com, DigitalCult.com, The Wrestling Road Diaries, the original gateway into the independent wrestling scene. That's where you can purchase that, along with t-shirts, buttons, pictures, posters, DVDs, and so much more. A children's book, I got it all. ColtMerch.com, DigitalCult.com. Can you tell the voice? It's a bit gone. It's fading away. I mean, I landed from Edinburgh, from the whole Fringe run. I landed in Chicago. I had like a day and a half off, and then it was right back to the races. But this was the right race to run. It was madness. It was madness. And by the way, by the time you hear this, I'm already doing a tour of the United Kingdom. I'm back in the UK. Rev Pro and Wrestling Media Con in London, Portsmouth, and Manchester. But this show this week, I mean, this whole podcast, it's a love letter to the independent wrestling scene. And that's exactly what this was with StarCast and All In. But for me, it actually started Thursday and Friday. The old piggybacking system, that's the best part of it. I did two shows Thursday and Friday for AAW at the Logan Square Auditorium, a 7-minute Uber ride from my house. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that show. I did play catch with my son MJF during a match. The gif is on my Twitter if you want to check it out. But I did want to talk to the promoter, a guy I've known for almost 20 years now, Danny Daniels, to kind of discuss the start of this All-In Weekend, which started, in my book, and a lot of people's books, with AAW.
As AAW, like, can you admit this is the All-In Weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've done the Thursday before Labor Day 2 years in a row, and we sold that out, but...
Is that right?
Yeah.
You've done Thursday and Friday, or just the Thursday?
Just the Thursday, because we did the Ciampa farewell the 1 year, and then we had Cody Rhodes the prior year.
It's just Cody, legally speaking.
My apologies. But yeah, if it wasn't for All In, we would not have ran Friday. So thank you, All In, for selling out Friday night for us. God bless.
And then, so you just like when you heard that was happening. So you had always planned to run this Thursday, just in general?
It was booked for a year.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, yeah. Because we thought Bola, the gimmick on us piggybacking off people would be like, all right, Bola's Labor Day weekend. Let's see who we can get from out of the country that can do both. So we bring them in Thursday, they go to Bola, but when we heard that happen, we're like, oh, well, fuck, if they're in Chicago, we'll just do both.
Yeah. And it sold out really quick.
Yeah, thankfully.
Business is going all right, or?
Yeah, like, I can't complain. We go to, we try Texas out in October.
Yeah, I didn't even know this.
Why not?
What's the story behind that?
I don't know. It was good with Wrestle Circus. They did well, so we know that there's a... you know, an audience that wants to come. And so we tried it. It's in a little venue, so if we can't sell out 350 to 400 people, then, you know, we're in trouble.
Okay, well, I guess we're just talking about this weekend.
All In Weekend.
All In Weekend.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you booked me again against my little son, MJF.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. And, I mean, it had, not that it was always my cup of tea, but at the end, I mean, it was magical at the end, and I was proved wrong why you can't. That you can play baseball or play catch in the ring and it gets over.
I questioned it too, but then as it was happening, I was like, "Yep, they're gonna be into it."
Yeah.
And I'll say this, Danny, just to say it on the record in front of you, you've always been on Team Cabana, which I've always been grateful for. You always make me feel good about myself as a wrestler, if that means anything.
Because you're damn good. But I'll tell you a quick story. I crapped on you, I believe, the first time I watched you and Punk. We were in a fair show.
At Granger, Indiana.
In Granger, Indiana. And you guys, and I was at the frame of mind where, like, oh, my God. And again, I was trained in Ohio. It was a different world back then. And you guys did a million things. I'm like, they're doing too much. And I think I either told Dominion or Ace Steel, I'm like, God, they're doing too much. They're not working. And they're like, oh, no, these, you know. And I look like an idiot because you guys tore it up. You know, it's great. And you know when young kids are out there, they're going to try to get their crap in to get over with the promoter. And get, I mean, and in due time, after you get yourself over, you're like, all right, we're going to cut it back a little bit and not take the bumps that we don't need to take.
But now you're in AEW, you're promoting that style of match that Punk and I did. That's what AEW is, no?
Again, but I'm also in the promoting of catering to what my audience wants. Is it everything that I enjoy as a fan? No, but I'm not buying the tickets, so it is what it is. You know, I'm selling to people that want that, so I give them what they want.
All right, and selling good. So two sold-out shows. Has nothing to do with anything else in town, but...
No, I fully admit, All In, thank you. Again, once again, thank you, All In. All In weekend, woo, let's do it again.
Yes, Danny, I couldn't agree. Let's do it again. Hopefully, every week will be an All In weekend. And again, before we get to All In, there were some other festivities, and that included StarCast, which I was at, and I didn't record that much. I did record a live Art of Wrestling, which I will play in the future, maybe when I have a weekend off or maybe an unexciting weekend or something like that, I will plug in the live podcast that I did from StarCast, which does have some good scoops from the weekend from the Young Bucks who were on the show. The podcast, that is. Obviously, they were on the All In show. But overall, I did want to sit down with Conrad Thompson, the guy who was responsible for StarCast, where I met so many great people. I talked to so many great fans, and I felt love. I felt love overall from just about everybody. So here's Conrad. This was right in the thick of things.
I'm in hell. I'm in StarCast hell. Do a convention, they said. It'll be fun, they said. This is a lot of work, dude.
Yeah, well, I was talking with my friend on just driving up here, and it was basically like, This is just you. I mean, obviously a huge team helping you, but you were like, you've never done a thing like this before, and you're kind of overtaking all of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good idea in theory, but clearly it got way bigger than we imagined, and me maybe just being a little too ambitious, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. I think everybody's having a good time. Obviously, we've had some missteps. We'll get better if I'm ever dumb enough to do it again.
Yeah, so we're at, like, literally the middle of it. It's like the middle day of it, and just like, tell me just like all the craziness that you didn't think was going to be the headaches for this stuff.
Well, like when you know, we had some weird weather this week and planes were delayed. And so when they were delayed, people missed their photo ops. And I thought, well, as long as I'm given a few hours, but if planes were delayed for more than that, then they missed it. And so then it's sort of on me. I'm not saying this to kick the can down the road, but it's my fault the plane was delayed and I got to make it right and I'll fix it. But then wrestlers are upset because, you know, we have less sold, and then fans are upset because they were there and waited and no one showed. And it's just, wow. You know, you hire somebody to go pick them up and we don't know the plane was delayed because the confirmation goes to their email. We're just waiting at the airport. No one shows. I don't think through this stuff when I'm lining it all up, you know. None of that stuff ever even crossed my mind until it happened. And now I'm just in it and trying to make people happy and do my best.
Well, yeah, when people tell me, like, Cole, why don't you promote? Like, this is why.
Yes. This is why. It was funny. I was talking to Kerry Silken in the hall. He said, you having fun yet? And I said, dude, I'm sticking to mortgages for now. And this was a fun idea, and I hope the fans had fun, but I am one and done. Back to mortgages we go.
It's so hard, yeah. But, I mean,
for those negatives, I mean, there's been so much positive. And just yesterday being around and everyone just being around, I'm excited to do the podcast. And it's just, here's something I noticed, and if you tell me it differently, that usually when I do these conventions, it's all based off of like legends and WWE legends. And this one is like, I didn't realize it until yesterday when I was like, this is based off of like kind of like indie underground stars. It's based off of obviously All In, but it's not necessarily like, do we have HBK? Do we have, you know, Goldberg? It's like, no, like Omega and the Young Bucks. And so like, even for me, I was like, oh, fuck. Because usually I'll go to some of these and I'll get a little down and I'll be like, oh, this is kind of sad. But like for me, like, oh, this was great. Like everyone was like, Colt, like, hey, we're here. You know, you're one of the part of the reason we're here. And it was like that idea that the younger generation, I don't know if you noticed that or if that was the intention.
That was absolutely the intention. You know, I wanted to do a bit of, you know, old and new, something for everybody, because I know Chicago is a big wrestling town. You see your download analytics and you may think, well, it's because I'm from Chicago, but for Bruce and I, Chicago is a top three market, and that's the case with all my podcasts. So I knew that there's a lot of sort of old school wrestling fans, because all my shows are all nostalgia. So I thought, well, hey, well, let's, you know, get the Horsemen in here and the NWO, but at the same time, let's get the Bullet Club. So we've got something for everybody. You know, right now as we're doing this, they're doing an Andy Kaufman panel right now, which is pretty fun. And at the end, by now everybody knows, we had a run in from Tony Clifton. And you know, so it became a deal where the original idea was to just do podcasts like stage shows like Bruce and I do, and that's sort of what I had expected. And I thought, well, maybe we'll have a handful of meet and greets. And then it got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger. And originally we were supposed to have like two rooms at the hotel. We were completely full at this hotel. We have it all, and like four or five hotels around us are 100% our folks. So way, way exceeded my expectations. Probably a little too ambitious, but hopefully people got their money's worth.
Yeah, and congratulations. This is awesome.
Well, listen, right now all I can see is what we did wrong, and I'm doing everything I can to fix it, and we'll get better.
And that's exactly what happened. I marched out of the StarCast on Saturday, and I headed over to the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates, just about 40 minutes from my apartment in Chicago. Walked in the building, said hi to everybody. Walked right into the arena where I saw Cody Rhodes. I'll call him Cody Rhodes. I'm a rebel. I don't care. I saw Cody Rhodes hanging out right by the ring, taking charge. I think he really enjoyed taking charge. And I wanted to get his thoughts before the whole thing even started.
What are we looking at? What are we doing?
Look at it, man.
I really haven't taken it in yet.
Pretty
Jesus.
Cool for do it yourself.
Is that on a cardboard that you made that at home?
The sides are cardboard and then the logos never change. We only could afford the middle. No, this is crazy.
This is crazy. This is, you know, but like for you, the thing is that you used to come to these buildings all the time and be like, these are the buildings. But I don't know if it's different because it's just this.
Well, no shade. In the last 4 years, we would come and say, these are the buildings, but the one side would be completely empty.
Right.
Because Stardust specifically would jump up on the barricade and wave to two rows, pretending I was...
Oh, and those ones.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't feel like, oh, we're back, as much as this feels like a completely different thing. That I have no real... I'm trying every time I walk out to be like, cool.
Yeah.
But I have no real pulse on what's happening yet. I don't think I'll know until after.
Until after. Yeah. This is like, right now is a before, and I'm almost just excited to wait to podcast for the after, because I think that's the important part.
That's the one,
part.
Man.
Yeah.
No, I'm very excited. And I'm happy. Such a good group of guys. Everyone, no one's mad. No drama.
Do you know what I did? I thought it was funny, which you'd appreciate, because we were in the locker room, and none of the lockers were open. And Justin Roberts, I saw his thing in there, and I was like, Justin, out of here. I was like, what, Justin gets a fucking locker, like, a joke, and then I sat in the corner. There he is, yeah. But the point is that, like, in WWE, that's what would have happened.
Justin, man, TVL. We should have had a TVL. That was the problem.
What's a TVL?
TV locker room was where the broadcast would typically dress.
Yeah.
And back in the day, TVL is where, like, Glenn would invite you in. And then Titus came in there one day and ruined it for everybody. And then, you know, no, he's a grown man. What are you going to do? You can't kick him out.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
The best.
This is your city.
Hey.
This is your city, man.
This is fun. Cool.
Yeah, man. Let me know if you need anything, Colt.
You got it.
Oh, man. As I was telling Cody that story about Justin was sitting right over there. And I wasn't talking shit about him. It was a story, but he was just right there. I was like, oh, shit. There's Justin. I mean, you heard him in the back a little bit. So, I just walked right over to Justin.
Did you take that seriously?
No.
When I threatened you?
You were in there, and you were joking. It was okay. It just brought back memories.
I was going to say, would that have really happened?
The mentality. Yeah. Wait, there's no locker room, but Justin gets a locker? old school, old school.
This is exciting, right?
This is awesome. This is so cool. I walked in and I thought, wow, this is... I was excited before I walked in. Then once I came in and just saw the setup, and this is amazing. And it's done by wrestlers. It's not a company. This is not put together by a company.
This is the FUBU of professional wrestling, for us, by us.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
I listen for it. Are you announcing me tonight?
I don't know.
You did announce my WWE debut.
I did.
From Deerfield, Illinois.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well, hopefully you get to announce my Hoffman Estates debut.
That would be cool.
All right, obviously there's two other people that I need to grab, and that's Matt and Nick Jackson. I do grab Nick Jackson right here, as he's being pulled every other way. Wanted to get his thoughts before it all started. And then Matt and his wife, Dana, do make a cameo as they're carrying in the catering by themselves.
Just we're before it's all starting. I'm getting everyone before it's starting.
Yeah, you're smart to do that.
I think the exciting part is going to be after, or during.
Maybe after. The nerves will be over with, you know what I mean?
Is there nerves? What are your nerves and stress right now?
Well, things that I've never experienced before. Well, when I was a little time promoter back when I was 15.
In the backyard, and you were like, we're not sure if all the neighbors will come.
Yeah, exactly. Or the cops, you know what I mean? Now it's like all these big time wrestlers coming up to me like, hey, can I have a table? Well, we only have 8, you know what I mean? So I need to, things like that. It sounds small, but it's just things like that are stressing me out.
Well, I guess you've wrestled in front of all those people in fucking in Japan.
Yeah.
But like, just to look, come in here and be like, oh, this was these people. Like, every one
it's
of those seats
different.
Are going to be filled.
Yeah.
Well, it's so many seats out there, right?
We just did G1, and they had 12,000 people in there for 3 nights in a row, which is incredible. But it's different here because I feel like 100% of the fans, almost 11,000, are specifically here for us.
I know. So, that's too much pressure.
Yeah, well, when you say it that way.
You better do good.
Yeah. Now it's... The hard work is put in, so now we just got to hit a home run. And hopefully we do. So
I think whatever they do, they'll be whatever you do, whatever we all do, everyone will be happy with it.
Yeah, as soon as I walked through the to see the setup in the arena, I was oh my god, this is almost overwhelming. I think once fans see it, they're gonna get goosebumps and they're gonna feel it. You know what I mean?
Like, it's crazy that they're gonna be able to walk in and be like, "Well, there's this many people that feel the way we feel." Mm-hmm. Because when you go to WWE, it's just a global product.
Yeah,
but like, this is just like for your YouTube show.
This is DIY. You know what I mean? This is DIY.
Yeah, it really.
You know
is.
What I mean? It really is.
And
it's
I can't
special.
Believe you constructed the whole truss above the ring. That's so wild. You came in last night and did it?
No, not me physically, okay. But I watched people do
you
it.
You DIY'd somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
So what is that?
I have Cracker Barrel Catering. I'm bringing in the catering room. I was at Target yesterday with all the water bottles. This is like I'm running a big backyard show again. Like,
I just took a picture of the Instagram. I go, this is the catering I need. It was Quest bars and
yeah.
water.
We did that earlier. Yeah, we went back.
Earlier too. Yeah. That
was
we got Cracker Barrel coming in.
That was the nice. That was the greatest thing in the locker room ever seen.
And Tic Tacs. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I did.
That was Matt's idea to get the Tic Tacs.
Oh man, this is exciting, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, I hope we knock it out of the park. And by we, I mean you. Good job.
We're all a part of this, though. Even the fans. So we all have to hit a home run. So.
Yeah, fans, don't fuck this up.
Someone else who I knew was very important to get on the show for the Jacksons and Cody and Kenny and everybody was Rey Mysterio. And it's nice that I've had a nice relationship with Rey. Even when I was in the WWE, he at least, you know, knew who I was, which was kind of him. But I've since, you know, been on a lot of shows with Rey and I've been around. And the whole time I was thinking about this show and about War of the Worlds, 1994, Los Angeles, California. If you don't know about it, just do some quick Googling or YouTube. It was just this mega show that was, you know, well, Rey will explain it a little bit, but it just had such a very similar vibe, and I couldn't think of anything since then, and I kind of want to get his reaction and see if he thought the same thing, and it was nice to hear from Rey before the whole show got started, got kicked off.
I think we're both a part of history today, huh?
Well, that's why I... So the thing that I think I can put this together like the closest to, and you have to tell me in my head, is when worlds collide, right?
Yeah, I was right before you said it, I was like, ooh, it came right to my mind. Yeah, I think it's probably the closest thing, obviously, in this era that we're living now.
Can you tell me a little bit about, like, I mean, because you lived that, you wrestled it.
Yes.
And what it is, for those who don't know, I guess.
It's funny because back then, breaking into the business and having, like, this was my first major big event. And I've heard names that so-and-so is going to be there. So-and-so is going to be there from other companies.
This was in 94, right?
94, yeah. Presidents of the companies, Eric Bischoff being one of them. You know, it really doesn't cross your mind how important that is to make an appearance. And to
an impression.
Yes, to impact. Because you're caught up in the moment, you just want to go. You just want to wrestle. You just want to have a good time. But then, of course, that does lead into bigger and better things. The signing of ECW, the signing of WCW. This is like a very similar stage, but on a whole different level, it seems like. You know, no major promoters are involved in this event today. It's just a bunch of kids that grew up to become big stars.
Right, the boys.
They're on their own.
Yeah.
You know, the boys, yeah.
So when Worlds Collide was very, like, not corporate, but very, like, higher powers putting a thing together?
Pretty much, because I do recall there was a lot of animosity between who was going to wrestle who and who was going to go over, who was going to take the fall. You know, here, I don't feel like that.
Right.
That's the impression here today. But I just think that this is only the beginning of something very big to come, man, and I just can't wait. I hope I'm still around to be part of number two for All In.
That,
I know this is only the beginning.
And that's like, yeah, like when someone has been around for so long, I wonder, like, is this a big deal for you? I mean, I know it is, but like on your dates, like, do you get pumped to do this show?
Oh, but of course. Yeah. I as soon as the offer was made, if I wanted to participate, I wanted to be part of this. I know this is, even before we knew how good it was going to do, you know, just the fact that they were putting a show together and it was going to be a big surprise show. Obviously, with all the hype being built up around it after the ticket sales were gone in 29 minutes, it's like, wow, I guess none of us knew how big this was really going to be. But I'm truly blessed to say that I am part of the first ever All In show. Yeah. I think this is awesome.
Yeah, me too. I think it's so, I'm trying to live in it, you know?
Yes, for the business in itself, it's definitely going to be a historical moment for wrestling because it's never been done. So I'm just trying to grasp everything that happens today because I think it's really going to be a dope moment for all of us.
I'm glad you think that way.
Yeah
me too. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Ray.
Yep.
Appreciate it, bud. So at this point, we did the battle royal. As we came back, we got an applause from everybody. And the Young Bucks came up to everybody and just said that was the greatest battle royal they had ever seen, which was nice. And going into it, a lot of us said, hey, this cannot be a punch and kick battle royal. This has got to be 18 minutes of fucking action. Everybody has to shine. Everybody has to look good. And I'll tell you this, I told some of the wrestlers afterwards too. A little bit of my heart was like, oh, I kind of wanted a match when I was announced for the Battle Royal. You know, there was an original plan of just having me in a Ring of Honor title match. I'll tell you that. That was an original planning. But the booking just got so shuffled over the months. And I think there was a lot of people, and then that's why there wasn't over the budget battle royal. Over the budget? Well, I guess it was over the budget. And so when I was in the battle royal, I did have, not like a real life boo-boo face, but I was like, oh man, all right, well, this will be fun. And afterwards, I was over the moon. I thought that couldn't have been a better thing for everybody involved. Everybody looked good. We were out there for 20 minutes, and I was ecstatic. And so was the rest of the locker room. Including my buddy Ethan Page, who was sitting right next to me.
Oh, man, you interviewed me when I wrestled in Corgan Hall, and now you're doing this?
Yeah.
You're just here for all the big hits for me.
It's not an interview. We're in the locker room chatting. Moose is being very loud.
And I'm trying to find GIFs of myself on Twitter.
If you want to know what wrestlers do after a show in front of 10,000 people, they just look on Twitter to see who talked about everything. The second you got back.
No. I congratulated everyone on how well the match went, and we all kind of had a little... Good
but
job,
you couldn't
everybody.
Wait to get back to this
of
Twitter.
I'm not ashamed to admit that.
What you told me on the way out.
Oh yeah, on the way to the ring. So when I physically got into the ring, it was fine because you're doing what you've been doing for me almost 12 years. But when I was walking to the ramp, there's like no music or anything. You're just kind of walking single file in a line. So I had
because
to like
we were in
take
this battle
it all
royal.
In. Yeah, we're in a battle royal, so I had to take it all in, and I'm just looking at everyone in the sea of people, and it was like very overwhelming. Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Is that the most you've been in front of?
Yeah, 100%, easily.
I once wrestled Gene Snitsky at the Rosemont Horizon.
How many people?
I don't know, 14,000.
So a little bigger than today.
I was, nobody chanted my name.
But today they did.
That's what I'm saying. They were excited when Gene Snitsky took off my boot and tried to smell my feet.
No comment.
That was a real thing that happened.
It was crazy that 10,000 people knew everyone in the match. Yeah, yeah. And there was nearly 20 people, and not everyone signed to like these big companies or anything. So it was like very DIY, and it was very cool.
To my left was Ethan Page, and to my right was Marco Stunt, who, to the best of my knowledge, I met the night before at AAW, but I don't know, I might have met him before. But now all of a sudden, he has a gif on a thing, and he's in front of 10,000 people.
How was that for you?
Absolutely unreal. I went from wrestling in Mississippi in front of 20 people that hoot and holler for saying shut up.
They did, after him saying hoot and holler, you're hoot and holler, like I could hear the people hooting and hey.
Hi, Cletus punch McGahan, roll him up. That's a good finish right there.
Yeah, how did you get here?
I don't know. I just showed up and they just put me in one of those shows. No, I'm just kidding. I wrestled for Joey Janela's Lost in New York, and things popped off there. And I woke up the next morning from a text from Cody Rhodes being like, "Hey, is this Marco? How would you feel about being in the Battle Royal?" And it just all happened in one night. It was literally an overnight thing. So.
And how exciting to be in front of all those people.
Dude, I've never had chills like that. I've still got chills right now. Just to hear some of the crowd know who I was, that's just crazy in itself. Just to have, even if it was just five people, I could hear them, and it was just cool.
And you had some fun highlighted spots in there, right?
I did. I eliminated Moose. He was the first eliminated. Sorry about that, dude. No hard feelings. And then I hit my signature code breaker on Brian Cage when he was least expecting it, so that was cool. But then I got tossed out, and my hair ripped out by Bully Ray, but that's okay.
He'll do it. He'll do it.
And after talking to Marco, I'm able to wash up, get dressed, and then there's a whole huge pay-per-view that's about to go down, a whole event. And it's funny, I'm walking around, I'm watching some, I'm mingling with friends the other, and I run into Kenny, and Kenny's such a big part of the show, so I grab him for a couple of minutes, about an hour or two before his match.
I mean, I'm done, but you're late in the card, you didn't want to be.
I'm late in the card. I was originally main event, then I was semi, and now I'm before semi. So
are you really?
That's what happened. I'm kind of shocked, but I mean, I'll take the punches as they come.
You wanted to be main event?
No, I didn't want to be semi either. So I guess that's my buddy's looking out for me.
Who moved in front of you?
Okada.
Oh, gotcha.
Okada begged for it, man. He wanted that main event slot. Bucks wouldn't give it to him, so they gave him semi.
All right. I don't know. Tell me how excited this is. Like, that this is a thing. You know, you helped build this with the show. Right? I think it's all based off the YouTube show, I think.
I mean, yeah, it really is BTE Live, and it really feels that way.
BTE Live. BTE on ice is what...
Ice to meet you, yeah. BTE Live, and... you know, you feel the passion, you feel that the fans just really want to be here, they want to have fun. And when I first came, and this always happens, when you come to a new arena, when you come to a new locale, and I've been to Chicago before, but I've never been in a building this big in Chicago, you never know what to expect. And when I heard the first opening match go out, and the Battle Royal, and the matches thereafter, there's this energy level that I've never heard or felt before, and it's just continuing, and it's not dying. So at first, it was kind of like let's see if I can do this without getting injured. Now it's like, I'm really excited to get out there. Nice. Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know, you've done the little ones in Winnipeg in front of 20 people, right?
Of course, still am doing it every now and then. You know? Nothing has changed.
Is that right? Have you gone back?
As Greg the Hammer Valentine said, it all was full circle, brother, you know? Every now and then, you know, like a non-announcement, I just kind of show up and do a little funny shtick. I will still on occasion do that kind of stuff. Lately, I haven't had the chance to. You know, I've just been too busy. But I always leave it open for the option for me to appear locally. I think it's important. I mean...
That makes sense, like your sensibility too, especially like if everyone's seen that outdoor match and the stuff, the original DDT stuff you did. Yeah.
The thing is too, I mean, I'm in a promotion now where I maybe once a year get to do what I used to do in DDT against Toriano. And if I do my local stuff... I get a chance to do that again. and that relieves some stress. So,
what if there's a local promoter being like, "No, we can't have you doing like they're, they, we're gonna need a real good one out of you."
Then I'll say, "You know what? You can take your $20 and shove it, buddy."
Congratulations on all this, man! I can't wait to see your match.
I can't wait to do my match. So thank you very much.
Right, well, I guess you got to get out of here and mentally prepare for it.
It's very true. Yeah, mentally prepare.
You know who's not complaining? You know who's being awesome? X-Pac. He was just sitting there watching the matches, and I came up to him, and I talked to him.
We're watching Cody and Aldis. Oh. But I don't know. You wrestled on the Independence. Like, this show is like basically a love letter to the Independence. You wrestled those First Avenue shows and all those Ed Sharkey shows, right? Yes. Did you ever like think those shows would lead to something like this?
No. No, I was just trying to get on the big, you know, get my dream was to get hooked up with a big company because all the independent stuff was nothing anywhere resembling any of this. Right. Like, you know.
It wasn't like a reality.
Yeah, there was no future of making money on independent. Mm-hmm. Now there is.
It's wild.
Making a lot of money.
Yeah,
guys can make good money and it's great. And
for me, right, I came in 99 is when I started doing independents. When did you start doing independents? Like, when did you start?
88.
80, so that's
the end of 88.
And
in Florida, like Midwest, I was in heaven when I came up here to Minnesota and I got $100.
I was going
to
ask you what the most you would get.
I was like, yes, I can like do this and like not have to really work that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, real job wise.
Sure. Yeah. As opposed to working as a restaurant.
It was $20 in Florida. That was the typical payoff. Like you just were expecting a 20. Yeah. And there was tons of guys that could actually go in there and do something.
But it was just waiting for them to get signed to go somewhere, right?
Yeah, it was a glut of wrestlers in Florida at a time when business was on its way down, late 80s.
Yeah, it's cool that you came here and you're here hanging out, yeah?
But I feel like I've been really, I'm like one of the old farts. They hate to use that term because I'm really not that old, but I've been around 30 years. But I get a little bummed out when I see people from my generation and older shitting all over the stuff that these guys are doing. You know, oh, you're not doing it right, calling a business? Obviously not. You know, and these guys all had to kind of figure this out on their own.
Well, if they are killing the business, then they made their own business,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
They might have killed that business, but they made their own business, and the point is to make money and make a living.
And right? And they are doing it right. All of y'all are doing it right.
And I think that's because, it must have been because, well, it's the ones when you were the young one, you remembered how much you hated the old people saying, you're killing the business.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And there's people who remember that and people who don't. You're the one that...
That's right. And also, like, I just remember, I've always remembered how Terry Funk has handled becoming older around the business. And he has never shit on the younger guys. He's always lifted them up.
Yeah.
You know, and if there was any criticism, like, it was done with, you know, love. And,
right.
You know, so... That's how I want to be like Terry Funk.
Yeah, I think we all want it. That's a good lesson to learn. We want to be like Terry Funk, yeah. Well, cool to see you here.
Yeah, it's always great to see you.
Thanks. Speaking of a love letter to the Independents, sometimes people will call me the king of the Independents. It is my heart and soul. It is my blood, but I am not the only one. There's a lot of us out there. And M-Dog 20 from the old backyard days, the backyard wrestling video games. M-Dog Matt Cross is another one. And it was important for me to get his thoughts and feelings, and he was pumped.
Matt, you snuck on another one.
Snuck on another one. It's true. It's true.
Like the idea, I'm just thinking of like you were like, yeah, of course I was on the Hogan Australia tour. Of course I was on this within Rikishi in Italia in Italy. Of course I was on this mega independent.
This one is odd to me with that in mind because I look around and I'm like, why are all my friends in France? Why are my friends in Spain? Because I've done these mega shows overseas for years. This is the first time on American soil I get to do it. So it's like I brought all my friends with me. So it's a bit strange and awesome.
Right. Yeah. It's so comfortable, isn't it?
I don't feel like we're in Chicago. I'm like, wait, you live here. This is like your backyard.
Yeah, I drove here.
That's amazing. I'm like, when did we even fly here? I don't even remember the flight. I'm not jet lagged. This is amazing.
I think this one's so important for both of us. And I, you know, I always champion myself with the independents, but I did have a year and a half where I went to the WWE and left and stuff. But this has been the life for 20 years.
Yeah, this means a lot to me on a personal level for exactly that reason. I'm coming up on 18 years of independent professional wrestling and nothing but. This is my lifeblood. This is everything to me. And to see it get to this level where there are genuine, I don't even know, I knew it was sold out, but honestly, not until maybe 5 minutes ago, seeing it, and I'm like, there are really people at the top. Like, there's just genuinely slammed. It's packed. It's just,
like independent wrestling.
Right. If I was like, hey, Mom, Okada is going to be here. She doesn't know what an Okada is. My aunt's never heard of Marty Scurll. Like, we're all nobodies, and I say that loving every one of us. But, like, oh, my God, guy in the street, Nick Jackson is doing this. Like, we're all nobodies, and I mean that in the most respectful and the most fantastic way. But look what we've done. Like, I still get – these aren't people that just – They're aware of what they're at. They're psyched to be here. I mean, it has a feel. This feels like a movement.
You ask yourself, like, where have these people been our whole career? where have you been, these fans?
I didn't, but that's probably to protect my own fragile ego.
Yeah. 25, like, usually there's 200, 250.
Right, yeah, on a good day. But, I mean, yeah, if we went back years ago, of course not. Yeah, that is true. Where have these people been? But they're here now. And I think from what I've seen of the show, it's going fantastic. So these people, I think, would all come back. And it's just going to, I think there's going to be before and after All In moving forward. So who knows what's possible now?
I fucking hope so.
Right.
This is
especially for guys like us that have, you know, been either dedicated enough or stupid enough, pick which connotation you want, to stay involved this long.
And that's what it is. Bill Burr had his quote, like, he's just did it long enough that everyone got bad that he was just like, oh, I guess I'm the one who's been doing this the longest.
Right.
I feel that's us too.
And you're the same. We could have walked away a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. There's so many hard times and whatever, but we stuck with it, and now on, you know, maybe the back end, we're able to just enjoy these things that are... I've gotten goosebumps like 3 times during this show because it does feel like, I don't know, our baby in some sense of like you said, we've championed independent wrestling forever, and to see it on this level, and this is a mark of the success of the event. We're at a giant arena that's slammed with people. I wore my jeans that are comfortable and a Wrestling is Forever t-shirt. You know, like...
Well, the email saying the dress code, did you get that?
Yeah, and it said... There is no dress code.
Yeah, dress however you want.
That is a huge success. There isn't, I wasn't like worried about like, oh no, I'm not going to shake DDP's hand and I'm fired. Like, I'm just here hanging out with my friends, wearing what I want to wear, having a sick time. And that translates to the crowd. And it's amazing.
Yeah. After I turned off the recording, Matt was just like, oh my God, I'm so glad that you caught me right there, because he did have goosebumps. And he was just like, I'm so in the moment. I'm so happy. Like, I felt it needed to be recorded or documented or something. And so that's what this is. That's what we're doing. We're documenting what's happening in the moment. And that made me so happy that I was there to do that with Matt and with many others. And the show, it wound down. And the show went off air. And it was a celebration of a great night, great wrestling, great fun. Just a gathering, not of juggalos, but of just like-minded people into one giant arena. I couldn't believe that there was that many people and that many seats, and the point was they all get it. They all got it. These were our people. And, you know, the cult leader, basically, at this point right now, is Matt and Nick Jackson. And I caught up with them as everything was settling down. Show's over.
Thank God. Right?
Thank God.
Thank God. Are you kidding me?
Well, so, actually, I have to be up at 9 a.m. I'm doing your thing in the morning,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We double booked ourselves a little bit. But Dana fixed it, though?
I think she fixed it. Good. You guys are going to make a 10-minute run in.
Yeah, no problem. Of course.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
How about that end when you guys were all in the ring? Just like, here's what I saw. It was just like, oh, this is like a concert where you guys are like, just like now just doing a one-man show to like you're just talking to 10,000 people and they just love you.
You know what's crazy is, and Cody mentioned this when he was talking, that every single person was still in the building and we're good 15-20 minutes after the last bell rang. So it's very telling. It's like they didn't want to leave.
They wanted that.
They did not want to leave. You don't see that often. Even in sports, it's like you see people getting out of there, you know, in the fourth quarter and stuff. And it's like they just, man.
But the wrestling was the appetizer and the main event. Like you thought it was the match, but it wasn't. It was just to see you guys like celebrate.
Yeah, they wanted
and be
to,
in there and talk.
Because you know what? That's what this was. This was a celebration. It was a party. These people came for a feeling, a movement. They didn't come for just wrestling moves. They came because they felt...
Although my acai was pretty sweet, though.
You had a sweet acai.
They liked the wrestling,
well,
too.
They liked the moves because we had about 1,000 of them crammed into a 12-minute match, which was supposed to be 29 minutes or something.
That we cut about half on
the fly. It was an absolute nightmare. But you know what? We thought on the fly, and I'm actually happy because it tested us. It was like, you know what?
You're right.
If you have to go out there and cut your match in half...
with three different language barriers, by the way.
In the match, we somehow succeeded in doing so, but man, it's your wrestling nightmare, right? Like, you're out there, and they're like, we're going to go black in 30 seconds. We're going dark in 30 seconds. And we're like, what? We're nowhere near our finish. And you just kind of just got to figure it out. That's what makes a good pro wrestler. But as far as the entire thing, man, like, I was telling Nick this, I have a new respect for promoters.
Yeah, promoters.
Because sure, it's so easy, right, just to be a wrestler.
You
go to Wawa and you get your Monster Energy drink and you show up to the show and you BS with the boys and then you just do a match. I've been here, essentially, I was here at 7 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And for about a few hours, and we came back at night to do a run through.
We barely wrestled.
Yeah. And then we got here at 9 a.m. this morning. We've been, and now, what time is it now? Who knows? 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Midnight, right?
Isn't that late?
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
And the whole show, you know, I got people playing tug of war with me. Matt, I need you here. So, God, I'm happy it's over. I'm happy we did it. I wish I would have been able to enjoy it a little bit more because it was so hectic, but I'm very proud.
I couldn't enjoy it at all because it was literally running around the whole
Jericho
time.
In.
Yeah. Like, you know what? It was worth it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm very proud. It was probably, and I said this on the mic after, it was my favorite day in wrestling.
I agree.
Congratulations, friends.
Thank you. Great. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That was great. Thanks, dudes.
And that was the show. They did a celebration at, I think, TGI Fridays or maybe Buffalo Wild Wings. And then what do? You know, do we ride that high forever? Do we just think about that high of that show? Like, what's the next step? And luckily for me, it's wrestling, no matter where it is. And I did that the next day at Warrior Wrestling, which is this amazing show that's happening to raise money for scholarships for kids that need to go to school. And the audio of this wasn't that good because I'm still learning how to use the microphone when it's really loud and I'm talking too close to the microphone, but I just thought it was important to share my feelings in the moment while in the middle of a high school gym that wasn't an arena, because that's what we do. That's what the love letter to the independents is. I mean, All In was the ultimate, but it's based off of these other shows that are happening every weekend in a town right next to you.
I'm here at the Warriors of Wrestling. I'm watching DJ Z make his entrance. And I just kind of had to stop and appreciate what's going on. As last night, 10,000 people in the Sears Center, and now it looks about 1,500, almost 2,000 people, but in a high school gym, and I could smell the popcorn. And this is everything I love as much about independent wrestling as I did last night. And I wanted that to be noted. Like, that smell, that popcorn smell and high school gym.
This is the life. It is the life. It's the best. I love it so much. I love that I don't hate wrestling. Like many, I've seen it happen before. A promotion makes you so consumed and so worried and so mentally drained that you then hate wrestling. I don't hate wrestling. I've surrounded myself around people also that are like-minded that also won't let wrestling let them hate wrestling. And that's why this weekend was so special and fun. And, you know, just the beginning to what it all can be and should be. And so a huge thank you to everybody out there who participated or tweeted or even cares about independent wrestling and tells a friend who tells a friend who tells two friends, who tells five friends, who tells 10 friends. Thank you. Thank you so much. Also, thank you to the person who asked my mom what she thought about my new action figure. And we'll hear from her just right after these plugs and
upcoming events.
All right, the best way that you can support, ColtMerch.com, DigitalColt.com, Twitter and Instagram, @ColtCabana, Facebook /AOW Podcast, also /ColtCabana. Each week I'll choose one person who reviews and rates 5 stars on iTunes, and I'll send them a signed show ticket from the Japanese promotion DDT. My storytelling podcast, Pro Wrestling Fringe, plus past archives of this show, old and new, are ad-free on StitcherPremium.com/Colt. Use the code Colt, get a free month. ColtWrestling@gmail.com is my very public email. Maybe your promoter will put me on your upcoming show or convention, or even be documented on this very show. I do have a YouTube channel. I also have a website, ColtCabana.com. That's where you can find my P.O. box. Upcoming tonight, September 6th, London, England, or Friday, September 7th, Portsmouth, England, revolutionprowrestling.com. September 8th and 9th, Manchester, England, wrestlingmediacon.com. Friday, September 14th, Cleveland, Ohio, AIWrestling.com. Saturday, September 15th, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, PPWWrestling.com. Sunday, September 16th, East Greenwich, Rhode Island, two shows, afternoon and night, BeyondWrestlingOnline.com. Friday, September 21st, Westbrook, Maine, LimitlessWrestling.com. Saturday, September 22nd, Wyandotte, Michigan, GoBCWA.com. Friday, September 28th, Las Vegas, Nevada, ROHWrestling.com. Also, October 4th and 5th, I'm open if anyone's running. Otherwise, it's a weekend off for me, I guess, which I don't want, but I'll take. Intro music by the Ukulele Teacher on YouTube. Outro music by Super Fun Yeah Yeah Rocket Ship. Podcast cover art designed by Jimmy Lee. Photo by James Musselwhite. Thanks to Danny Daniels, Conrad Thompson, Cody Rhodes, Justin Roberts, Nick Jackson, Matt Jackson, Rey Mysterio Jr., Ethan Page, Marco Stunt, Kenny Omega, X-Pac, and Matt Cross for being on the show this week. Let's thank some sponsors. Highspots.com, a VOD service that is amazing. Also, you can watch the AAW show. You can watch me play catch with MJF on the High Spots Network. They also have AMA knee pads, gear, wrestling mask, even a wrestling ring. A wrestling ring that 1 Hour Tees just put in their store. That's a real fact. They got it from High Spots. This is synergy. Everyone's working together. 1 Hour Tees, they run pro wrestling tees. That's where you can support your favorite independent wrestlers directly. All right. Hashtag Ask Cabana Mom is what you'll use on Twitter. Send me something that you want to know my mom's thoughts on. Has to do with wrestling. At Bronco Grads, he asked, I'd love to hear what your mom thinks about her son's debut figure from At Figures Toy Co. That's right, the figure toys company. They put out a new figure. Find them online to get it. And here's my mom's thoughts on this action figure.
I'm back. Yes, it's Mama Cabana from her studio apartment in Chicago, Illinois. I heard All In was a terrific weekend, and I'm sorry I couldn't make it to meet all my fans. But getting back to today's question, I thought the action figure of Colt Cabana is terrific. It represents everything he was as a kid. He had so many action figures to play with. He had Teenage Mutant Turtles, He-Man, GoBots. He had Spider-Man figures, Police Academy toys. He had the starting lineups of all the baseball teams, Muscle Men. And of course, he had all the wrestlers, the miniature ones, the big ones, the wrestling ring, the miniature wrestling ring. He had them all. Yes, those action figures and the ones today represent who Colt Cabana was. So I'm very much in favor of his new action figure. I hope it's a big seller. I hope it's popular. And I hope people, young and old, buy it for their collection. So I hope to be on next week again. I'm looking forward to your questions from my studio apartment. I bid you adieu. And thanks.
I guess she likes it. Maybe she'll listen to the Fully Posable podcast, a podcast about action figures. Or even the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, the new wrestling figure podcast by Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. Maybe that's her new thing. Those are two great action figure podcasts, by the way, if that's what you're into. Otherwise, come back next week. It's going to be another crazy one. I'm going to London. I'm going to Manchester. I'm going to Portsmouth. I'm doing some television over in England. I have no contract with nobody. Independent wrestling. It's the best. This has been The Art of Wrestling. For Colt Cabana, I'm Colt Cabana. Thanks.
Do you remember Flair Steamboat happened in this building?
In this building?
Yes, when it was the UIC Pavilion.
This is not the UIC Pavilion.
It used to be.
No, it wasn't.
No?
No.
What is it?
This is just, the UIC Pavilion was downtown Chicago.
No, this isn't it.
No.
I was told this was it.
I can edit that out for you, though.
Okay, I don't care. Whatever.